Were you a part of that crew, CJ, booing Aki Berg? Did you throw waffles at him or anything or what?
No, I can't take any credit for that. Okay. I didn't have any particular. He was on some of the good Leafs teams. That's the funny thing. And played 600 games. I'm just looking him up on HockeyDB. So that's not a bust by my measure.
No, not at all. No. Shout out to Aki Berg. Great trainer, too, Aki Berg.
He is, man.
Legit great trainer.
He is. TBS trainer, isn't he?
Yes, he's for Finland and everything. So, CJ, what can you put your finger on that, like, turn the tide for this team? Because with the injuries and the poor start, everything was suggesting that it was going to kind of go a darker direction. And they really had a fork in the road. And, man, did they pick the right direction because they're rocking right now.
Yeah, I mean, I look back even just to that first home game back from the California trip when they played Philadelphia and managed to get a win there. I mean, at that point in time, it looks crazy to even say this now because of how hot they've been. But you just think if they lose that game, we're talking about firing people and trading people and all kinds of stuff. I'm not really sure what's changed. I do think one of the interesting factors, though, is, you know, they've really, it's not been an easy go, right? I mean, cycling through the goaltenders the way they have, you know, obviously the situation they have with the injured defenseman now, you know, I think it actually maybe creates the circumstances to get everyone's attention, to buckle down, to play a little better, play together. You know, you got guys like Matt Hollowell coming in the lineup, and you can see him get his first point last night. You know, Austin Matthews was pretty pumped about that. I mean, I think all these things kind of help. And the truth is, look, we know that they're a good team. Like, that was never really at issue, I don't think, even in the slow start. I mean, they got superstars. I mean, William Nylander might be their fourth best forward, although I think we might have a different debate just based on the play of the season. And you know, look at the player he is. So I think that there's a combination of having to face, you know, it was getting bad and they had to kind of face themselves. And then I do think that they've handled, you know, this adversity or these string of injuries really well.
So, CJ, a month ago, we were talking about the Anaheim trip where it was a disaster. The world was caving in. Hell was breaking loose. People were getting fired. Then we had the injuries. Like, what is the organization? Like, is it just business as usual and let's just enjoy them winning games? Or what happens next? Do they need a D-man or guys are coming back? It's just all good in Leafland. It's going to be boring radio for three more months or what?
Well, I think it's good. You know, I didn't get a sense at that point in time as much as, you know, those of us doing our job were making a big deal where they were at, that there was much of an internal wobble. I think that there was an understanding that they had to buckle down, because remember, they played Philly in that first game after the trip, but then they had Boston, I think Carolina, Vegas. Like, they had really good teams to face, and then, you know, they managed to get points out of all of them, and, you know, I think won three or four of those games. So, you know, internally, I don't think that there was quite the same clamoring that we were, you know, making externally. You know, and I do think now will be a little bit boring. I mean, it's never boring in Toronto. There's always something going on, but, you know, I think that this is a period where Kyle Dubas and the front office are really evaluating what they have. I think that they actually, as much as you don't want injuries, you know, they welcome the chance to see guys like Sandin and Liljegren play increased minutes, to maybe get a gauge where they might be at growth wise. And I think that all that could go into making the decisions as they get closer to the trade deadline, you know, where they're going to allocate their cap room. And if it is, you know, straight up going to get another defenseman, or if maybe they feel like these guys are at a spot in their career where they're able to contribute. I mean, we're dealing with a pretty small sample size here, but, you know, those two in particular just came off a pretty strong road trip playing together, playing the most minutes they've ever seen in NHL games. You know, I think that has to be an encouraging factor. So, yeah, I think it is pretty boring right now, as bad as that is for the listeners that are probably turning off the radio as we're talking. But I don't see everyone, you know, I don't think they're going to make tons of panic trades. I mean, even when Riley went down and Jordy Benn, I mean, the Connor Timmins move, I think, was more of a big picture move anyway. You know, he hasn't gotten into a game. It wasn't like they went to get him just to try to stem the tide that was going on at that moment. It was more that Arizona was going to have to put him on waivers and needed to make that deal at that particular time. So, you know, I think that they're going to be patient and wait to get into January, February, and see what kind of moves might be out there for them.
Do you think this is where I was going to go? And this isn't painting a picture. It's nice to look at guys throughout the organization, but I'm, you know, do you not think that Kyle will be, even though he's being patient, do you not think he still has to make a move on the back end? Like, I'm looking at, like, I'm lucky enough to go through the league and see teams live. Like, there are defense corps that, even if they're healthy, like, if Riley, when Riley and Brody come back, like, that defense corps needs an upgrade. Like, you know, I look at Vegas's defense corps, even Boston, they're good. And like, as I see defense corps throughout the league, I don't know how the Leafs measure up. The team, I'm not talking team defense, defense corps, which is different. And, you know, do you not think that something's going to heat up here sooner than later? Or are you, like you say, you think that Kyle's going to be incredibly patient and just allow some of these kids to just grow while they're chugging along?
Well, I think that they'd make the move sooner if they could. I just don't know that it's going to be out there for them. I mean, really the only defenseman of serious consequence that could be had to trade today is Jacob Chychrun, and there's a huge price tag attached to him. And, you know, I have no reason or no knowledge of the Leafs being one of the teams that's super interested there. You know, so I think just the reality of the trades, you know, tend to happen in that 2 months leading up to the deadline dictates that's where they'll be. And yeah, I think handicapping it, it's likely that they're going to be adding a defenseman. But it is sort of interesting if they think Liljegren and Sandin, and granted, they're going to need to see more than they have to this point. But, you know, it's trended in a pretty good direction here on that road trip that they just come back from. And if those guys can play, because neither was really a factor in last year's playoff series, right? I mean, Sandin was scratched for all the games, and Liljegren only played in two of them. You know, you still got Giordano here. You're not going to have Muzzin. So I do think, yes, that there's probably an upgrade there, but there's also a discussion to be had about, you know, what kind of upgrades they should look at forward, and there's only going to be so much cap space to go around to make those kind of moves.
Yeah.
With Chris Johnston, yeah, you mentioned Nylander and the numbers he's putting up. This earlier today, just as kind of a practice, like, how many teams in the league would he be the most, like, electric point getting forward? You know, like, how many teams would, if you put him on their roster right now, like, if he goes to Arizona, clearly he's their number one guy. I would say probably Anaheim. I love Zegras, but he's still a kid, like the way Willie's playing right now. You know, you can go, I think you could go through the list, maybe San Jose. You know, there's a lot of teams in the league where I think you could stop and say, it's a legitimate debate if Nylander would be their, like, number one guy. Like, the offense would run through him. And that's how well he's playing right now.
Right, and it's been a huge bonus because, you know, Matthews in particular hasn't been quite as dangerous as he was last year. And you know, the team isn't really missing much of a step. I mean, they're scoring 4 goals a night now, you know, since they got hot here in November. And that's, you know, that's a way that they can win, you know, enough games to get, you know, the kind of points total they had last year. And I would expect they'll be up over 100 again this season. You know, Nylander's a pretty polarizing guy, right? I mean, I think people have seen him kind of go in and out a little bit. I mean, it's even something Sheldon Keefe's referenced in, with the media at times, just about consistency in his game. But when he's on, I mean, there's not much debate about, at least from where I sit, about the kind of impact he can make. You know, he's been one of the players that have scored in the playoffs, too. Kind of goes under the radar at times because they all end up in series losses for the Leafs. But you know, I think that there's a lot he can hang his hat on, and the fact that they have him as the third or fourth best forward on the team is a pretty big luxury to have.
With Chris Johnston, our TSN Hockey Insider, Matthew Tkachuk returning to Calgary, and neither team is exactly happy with where they're at. Florida's on the outside of the playoffs looking in. Calgary on the outside of the playoffs looking in. Do you think the trade on either side had anything to do with that?
I think it did. You know, especially, you know, I'll start with Calgary. I just think, you know, swapping out two players that had over 100 points and have been such central parts of the team, you know, even if you like the move and it might still prove to work over time, that's a huge change, you know, for an organization. It's a big change for those players. You know, Jonathan Huberdeau's been slower to get going there, and he's had some injuries earlier in the season. You know, Kadri slowed down a little bit too. You know, I think that it might prove to be a good decision over time, but in the short term, I think that's probably contributed to it. And, you know, in Florida's case, they went in pretty heavy at last year's deadline, right? Like, they traded away 2 first-round picks for rental players, you know, didn't re-sign either one, Ben Sherrod or Claude Giroux. You know, then they trade Mackenzie Weegar and Jonathan Huberdeau to get Tkachuk. And so while Tkachuk has been very good and he's putting up points for the Panthers, you know, I think that there's been some subtraction overall from what that organization was. And they, I mean, we talk about the Leafs cap issues. The Panthers have tons of cap issues. They played three or four games already short of Skater because of their cap situation. They're going to have to clear more room out here in the near future with Anthony Duclair, you know, working his way back from injury. And so, you know, I think Florida's just leaked some talent, and part of it is that trade, but part of it is just, you know, where the organization was at after putting all the chips on the table last year and falling short in the second round. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch. I like Calgary's chances to get back on track, but certainly to start this year, it's been a little underwhelming, I would say, from the Flames, just the way they've got going.
Oh, yeah, big time. I mean, this could be what they need. You know, as you bring Tkachuk back, the building should be rocking tonight. Yeah. They're going to boo him. You know, it's, but that can go the other way, too. If you're in a bad spot, if Tkachuk goes in and scores two or three tonight, gets in a fight, wins a fight, whew, man, that can get, it might get ugly in Calgary. Like, it could get ugly quick.
And they're starting to back up goalie there tonight, so they've got their own set of discussions going on.
What's that?
Dan Vladar starting tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's got a chance to be a one in this league. I think there's going to be a team that'll trade for him at some point.
Really?
Yeah.
Darth Vladar.
I think he's got a chance to be a one. Mm. Like, he's young. He's only, I think, 23 or something, 24. Like, he's, and they signed him to a 2-year extension, so they've got him under control.
I would take a Scott Darling sniff on that guy.
Well, it depends on.
But it's real. It's not
where.
Scott Darling.
Well, it depends. Scott Darling was a 4-year deal. That was, you know, a situation where Carolina, you know, saw him win a cup and he won a couple games there in the playoffs while Crawford stubbed his toe against Nashville, and then Crawford took over and got it going. But, you know,
it's
Darling,
interesting, those goalies in Alberta, though, isn't it, Noodles? Like, you got Skinner playing last night, you got Vladar going tonight.
That Oilers goalie situation, I got a little bit too fired up on my boy Jeff Skinner, and I thought I anointed him the king a little too quickly. And I'm sorry. Like,
you need two goals. He's a tandem goalie.
I get it, Noodles.
That's what
but
Jack
that
Campbell
team,
is too.
Whatever issues they have, whether it be the back end, if those goaltenders continue to play like that, they're going to have an awfully difficult time covering up some of the stuff that everyone else has, because that goaltending ain't getting you nowhere. No way, no how.
Like Skinner as a goalie, and I think Campbell's better than he's showing.
Yeah, he's not this bad.
Not that bad.
It hasn't been good for Campbell, has it, CJ? I mean, it's been pretty
hard. No, and they're worried about it, right? I mean, this is not the way you want to start a 5-year relationship after, you know, signing someone in free agency the way they have. And, you know, I got all kinds of time for Jack Campbell, just a sweetheart of a guy, and, you know, it's not nice to see him struggle like that, but, you know, there's huge pressure on him, I would think, you know, getting that kind of contract, having the expectations he did, and then to start in this manner. You know, there's a lot of worried people around the Oilers about trying to get him back on track and what it's going to take to do that.
Yeah. He played well against the Rangers the other day, so hopefully he can get going, you know?
Yeah. That's not good, though, when the whole organization's like, we got to figure out how to spark. I mean, it you would understand why that would be a conversation, though, to your point.
You know what would concern me more about getting his game going? This is 3 months into a 5-year deal.
Yeah, exactly.
That would concern me.
Yeah, very concerning. Not the best first impression
best
for him, Huberdeau. Anyway. All right, CJ.
Not the best plus Nick Cage.
Yes. Maybe on top of not the best is Nick Cage. All right,
CJ. One more set of reminders that the team that wins the summer doesn't always go on and win too many games. So.
Yep. Yeah. Well, talk to Ottawa. Remember, they got crowned as the greatest offseason in the history of the National Hockey League. And they're winning more now, though. Like, Ottawa's, you know, they've dug themselves out of the ditch. The ditch just might be too deep. You know, they might have put themselves too far behind the eight ball. But you're right. The summer, it only does so much. All right, CJ, we'll leave it there. Thank you, buddy.
All right, boys. Talk soon.
Chris Johnston, our TSN Hockey Insider.